Hello, my joys, and welcome to The Power of Joy with me, Adam Lyons. Today, I am full of joy because yesterday I went on for the first time as Stuart Dunmire in Mrs. Doubtfire in the West End, and it was the most magical, joyous day, like the best birthday and Christmas all in one. And it was all thank you to my amazing cast who showered me with love, support, and most importantly, joy. It really was a day I'll never forget. But what brings me joy today, you might ask? Well, not only am I still on cloud nine from the show, but today my guest is someone I have admired since I was an early teenager, dreaming of working in the industry and dreaming that I would ever even get the chance to talk about what lies in store in this episode with someone like him. Today, peeps, I am joined by choreographer and creative director to the stars, the one and only Richie Jackson. Now, Richie is one of the biggest creatives and choreographers on the planet and is most known for being by Lady Gaga's side, creating for her from day one. From theatre tours, first singles, Just Dance and Poker Face, cut to years later selling out stadiums and creating one of the biggest shows possible on the planet, the Super Bowl. Join us as we talk about pinch me moments such as the MTV VMAs, all the music videos, the albums, the concepts, the Super Bowl, the art, and also discover the journey that Richie has been on as he really opens up his world for us with some inspiring messages. This episode has so much heart, so get yourself comfy. You're gonna love this. I give you Joy with Richie Jackson. Richie Jackson, aka Richie Squirrel, choreographer and creative director to the stars, joining us all the way from LA. Welcome to The Power of Joy.
Yes, Adam, thank you for having me. This is gonna be fantastic. I'm excited.
Well, you have no idea what this means to me to have you on the show today. When I told some friends that you were on, the gaggery or the gaga-ry. Thank you. Thank you for being here with us. And I'm so excited for you to share your story on The Power of Joy.
You're welcome. All good troops. We're here. We're going to make it happen.
So let's get stuck right in and break the ice by asking you, what are the things that bring you joy every single day?
Oh my gosh. Okay. Mm. It's the little things. I love, you know, first of all, like I wake up early and I love, you know, putting on my music in the mornings and just getting my day started. Listening to music brings me joy. It brings me that happiness because I think about like moments in my life. Also, you know, once that's done, I do my things around the house. Like I love driving. I love driving my car. I love driving around, dropping the top. Convertible. I love it. The convertible life is amazing. I just like love driving around and feeling the breeze because, you know, I'm always in a dance studio. So any sort of outside, anything, I'm like all for. And also love a good movie. I love sci-fi. I love horror films. I love comedy. I like diving into their worlds. As you know, we're either doing shows, creating shows, in a show. So anything where I can watch someone else perform and go for it, especially in film, I love that. So those are the little things that make me happy.
So let's go on a joyous Richie journey. Let's go way back when. Little Richie, what was life like for you growing up? And when did you realize that you had this game-changing creative brain of yours?
So growing up, I grew up in a town called Fairfield, which is outside of San Francisco. And mixed town, mixed cultures, mixed vibes. So growing up, I was just, you know, sort of like taking in everything. Like my mother used to have a daycare. So she'd have 20 kids that would show up at 7 a.m. So seeing those kids and, you know, like getting along with them and figuring out life through like my mom's life, because she just always had kids around the house. So I just always had people around me. My uncle used to play drums. So I used to love watching him play the drums. So when I was in fourth grade, I really got inspired by him. And so I started to play percussion. And band was basically my life from fourth grade till I graduated. I loved percussion. I was a drum major. I was a drum captain. I was in symphonic band, concert band, marching band. So band was pretty much the bulk of my younger years. But dancing was something that I did on the side that I loved. I loved watching Michael Jackson, Madonna, Janet Jackson, you know, Cher. Like I was watching VMAs all the time. I would, you know, record things and try to like mimic it. But I just never knew that I could make it into a career. So it just was something I loved to do. I then joined a dance group when I was 13. And, you know, we were like performing around the town, performing at local competitions, but it still wasn't like it is today. It was just sort of like a hobby. And the game changing moment was after high school, I left and went to a college in Alabama, a Southern Black college in Alabama, because I wanted to become a lawyer. Okay. I was all about you, like, you do the crime, you pay the time. Like that was my thing. And then one day I happened to be watching an Aaliyah music video called Are You That Somebody? And I saw an old friend of mine dancing with her. And that day was literally life-changing. I literally called my mom and was like, I'm out of here. Mm-hmm. And she was like, what do you mean? I was like, I'm going to LA. Like, I'm going to go dance. If he can do it, I can do it. So I left and moved to LA, and everything just started to happen. I got to LA, and after, like, you know, basically like 3 to 6 months, it was a rough time because, I mean, literally, Adam, I was like on buses trying to find a dance studio, going here, walking there, couldn't find one. And so once I finally found the dance studio, people started to see me like dance. They loved my vibe. So in the early Richie days, I danced for Will Smith, Missy Elliott, Jessica Simpson, Christina Milian. I was on Coke commercials. I did the first iPod commercials that came out when they first released years ago, the Silhouette commercials. I was also a Silhouette. Yeah, remember those old Silhouette commercials?
Yeah, that was iconic. I used to have like a green iPod, like, and it was so massive. It was like a brick.
I lived for it.
Yeah.
So, and we were literally holding bricks when we first started shooting those commercials. So I did two of those commercials. I was also one of those huge billboards. And then everything just changed. I wanted to choreograph. I assisted, you know, 3 different choreographers. I really wanted to learn my craft. It wasn't about like rushing. I think a lot of people want to rush when it comes to choreography, but I was like learn everything so that when it's your time, you know as much as you can. You know what I mean? Yes, and so after that, I finally met Gaga and everything just changed. I would just say that she was just the first artist in my career. And at that time, that would allow me to pour into her as much as I saw, as much as I felt. There was no unsurety. She wasn't worried about anything. It was just about how do we turn these songs into, like, you know, visions and choreography and how do we go forward and sort of not about changing the game, but give our perspective on pop music. And that is where I got to just unleash what I felt inside when I heard her music. And it wasn't about being too pretty or being too sexy. It was just about what does the songs feel like. So that's where it all started.
Yes. Oh my gosh. Can you tell us about the moment you met her and how your artistic souls greeted for that first time?
Yeah. I met her in Hollywood and she came into a studio and she had 3 songs. That she played for me and danced. She like sang, danced, performed them. And I just remember just saying, wow, like, okay. You know, she was something different. There was a vulnerability to her. She was unique and nothing like I had ever encountered before in all the best ways. And I remember just saying to her, like, we are going to change everything. Like I literally said, we are going to change everything.
Yeah.
And from that moment, it just, what I felt was she wanted this with every like being of herself. Mm-hmm. And I wanted it for being of myself. Like I really want to be a choreographer and really, you know, do those great moments in pop choreography, not knowing what they would ever be, but just I wanted that too. I wanted my Thriller. I wanted my Smooth Criminal. I wanted, you know, those videos are so iconic to me. I wanted that too, but not in that way, but in my way. And just when we connected, it just made sense. 2 people who were wanting things so bad in their fields met. And then it just exploded into pop.
Yeah, I just think it was destined that you were to meet and to work with each other because look what you've achieved and the language and the art that you created. When I first seen it, it was like otherworldly. And I think sometimes a lot of creatives struggle to actually create something new and innovative and something that's actually going to capture the world and shock you and make you think and make you feel. And your work is there in the museum of iconic pop culture that really has changed and helped the world evolve. And, you know, like the little boy in me, I viewed your work with Gaga and I felt like I could be anything that I wanted to be. And because I always felt different growing up, you allowed me and your art allowed me to celebrate that. And for example, like I used to dance around my room to Bad Romance, doing every iconic step, feeling so free, empowered. And it was everything. Your work is revolutionary and it's still to this day. It has that impact and that message that you seem to translate through dance, through art for your vision. It's ingrained in who I am and it helps me to be my true authentic self. So round of applause for Richie Jackson, people, because you are amazing.
Thank you.
Everything
Thank
you've
you.
Created. And it's just, I'm
Thank
cool.
you. Thank you. And it's all for everyone to absorb and to take. It's really from an honest place and the true place. Mm-hmm. And it's not overnight. And I literally make sure I comb through that choreography so that it has the greatest effect on everyone who sees it. So it's never just like, here, just take this step, just do this. There's always purpose behind it.
Yeah, 100%.
100%.
What was the first tour then you choreographed for, and can you tell us about the process in creating these groundbreaking theatrical arena stadium extravaganzas? Are literally all of the words.
Yes. The first tour, Monster Ball.
The Monster Ball. Wow.
The Monster Ball. But you know, we started out with like the theater show. So it was the Fame Ball. Mm. You know, it was a theater show that then grew into, it just got bigger and more, what's the word? It's like Fame Ball made its way into the Monster Ball.
Yes, it was just like evolving.
And what was amazing about it was to see it go from theater, then to like how the theater within itself grew, how we got there, and then for it to then go to the Monster Ball. And I just think back then, especially like around that time, and we were just like nonstop. It was it was just like from Just Dance, you know, to Poker Face. We did Dirty Rich in between, then Love Game. Like it just once the ball started to roll, and what I loved about it the most, I just told someone the other day that was like, what was it like during that time? I was like, what I love is that no one knew what was happening. And it was just like, the world was like, what's going on? But I love that.
Yeah. I remember like I went to see the Pussycat Dolls and Gaga was supporting them. And I stood there thinking like, one, who is this woman? Two, what is she doing? But because it was so fresh and unique. And three, I can't get enough of it. And I was like, I'm looking at the next pop queen of the world. This art, which is just brewing in front of my eyes. Like, did you realize how much of an impact you were going to actually make?
No.
From that beginning?
I didn't. What, at least for me, all I had was sort of like, I feel this. It feels unique. It feels different. And I remember that. I remember that tour when she opened up for the Pussycat Dolls. It was like the Pussycat Dolls were like ferocious, like five sexy, confident, strong women, you know, but with this opener that was nothing like what everyone had come to see, right? But there was faith and love poured into that little itty bitty show because it just was everything new that felt different yet organic, and we're going to reach a different kind of crowd. And I always loved that about the juxtaposition of that show in particular when she opened up for them. She was nothing like them. In the best way possible. So, but Monster Ball, it just, when it finally happened, how do I say this? When you have an idea of what your first tour that you'd ever choreograph, how it would be, and it's nothing like that, but more. Like my idea of the first tour I'd ever choreographed did not look, feel, walk, dance, sound like that at all. Like it was something completely different. So to have that moment and with her and with the cast and creating it, like it just was more than I ever expected. But everything that I loved and working with her, especially during that time, it was such an early time in both of our careers that it just It was explosive. It was amazing. Yeah. It was incredible. And to see how the audience was reacting, see how they reacted to her, mm-hmm. and this idea of, like, you know, a true fan base. You know, when I was growing up, I saw Michaels, I saw Janet's, but it's different. I was young. The idea of fan base, or, you know, people that truly support you and agree with you, was different. But to see it every night on that first tour was just, it was absolutely incredible. And to see so many different kinds of people, that was the best part. Yeah. I had never seen so many differences in appearance and, you know, a gender and just look, outfits, you know, there was a confidence, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. That was walking around that place in those arenas.
Yeah. I decided to throw on a leather jacket with some studs on. And I was like, yeah, I'm going to rock this. Like, it gave me that confidence. And I always remember sitting, I think it was at the Born This Way tour, and I was sitting with my friend Jake, and then we were next to some old women, like some elderly mm-hmm. women, loving their lives. It's like, woo. And you've got kids, you've got all ages, you've got all people, you've got the people with the looks, you've got the community. I could see from back then, from the Monster Ball, even growing in that evolution, and a bunch of so many different people coming together.
Yes.
For the art, for the music. Yes. Like, it is everything.
Everything. And the dedication in the eye, we are you, you are us. There was sort of like mm-hmm. a mirror on stage. Mm-hmm. Like, our mirror was yours. Like, everyone saw each other. And I loved it. I loved it. Especially Born This Way Ball.
I was gonna say, was that your favorite tour to create, Born This Way?
Oh my
gosh, run with the, literally, I was like, I can't. Iconic.
Born This Way Ball was it was awesome. It was amazing. I used to say every night, I was like, when the castle would appear, when the kabuki would drop and the castle was there, it's like,
there was a castle on stage.
Yeah. I literally would like run outside to like the audience to the front of house. Mm-hmm. Just to hear the audience go up when the kabuki dropped, because I was like, we are literally bringing like Disneyland to every city. Like, just that castle drop, like appearing, was the moment. But I did love that tour the most. I just there's something about the Born This Way Ball that just
mm-hmm. so special. But you know what? For me, like, I loved every tour in every way. But there's something special. I have a fond memory, see, of the Art Rave, the Art Pop Ball.
Yes.
I saw it at London in the O2, and it was the see-through catwalk. And I was just dancing underneath, looking up, seeing Gaga, seeing the dancers strut above my head.
Yes.
And it was just something I'll never forget. Like, for me, that fueled my artistic soul. I was like, I want to do this. And I'd never seen anything like that again. Just when you think you saw everything on Born This Way, like with the castle and everything, then it's Art Rave.
Then we went out into the audience so far. Yeah, so far out into the audience. So cool. Like, you know, she created that stage. And I remember just saying, wow. We're going way out there. Like, we're in the audience. We're above them. They can see through the catwalks. Oh, like, that was, I mean, you thought you had seen it all. I thought I had imagined it all. And once I saw that, I was like, this is game changing.
100%. And again, you're viewing your choreography in different angles and different ways than you normally just look at a piece of art on stage. You're like, whoa, I can see it from there. I can see it. And that's what stuck with me. Watching from above and just like, whoa, this is a feast for my eyes and for every inch of my being.
As
an audience member, like, wow.
And so when I finally saw it and we had to start doing our, you know, sound checks, run throughs, vibes, I was like, okay. Cause I, you know, it's one thing to choreograph it inside of a studio. Mm-hmm. But once we hit that stage, I realized, I was like, okay, we have to do this in another way now. We have to turn it every which way. People are going to be like, there's really no true backdrop. We're like in the audience. So people have to be looking, you know, and seeing something from every angle. So that was the goal. And I was very happy with it when it was done. I felt like we really accomplished that, you know, mm-hmm. kind of unique experience to choreography for that sort of that ball in particular. So, yes.
Yeah. Wow, what a ball, what a joy. Now, Richie, the music videos. Oh, my God. videos that went down in history. I mean, so freaking iconic. Can you talk us through how your creative mind works when creating a video concept for Gaga? Like, let's use like Bad Romance, for example, as it's just beyond iconic. How do you do this?
So that video in particular, I knew the concept of her being, you know, I called it the sexy brothel. What's happening? Are we like vampires in the brothel? Like, that's where my mind went.
Yes.
At the time of creating it. And I knew there was this sort of smell of like, is it vampire? Is it not? Is it monster? You know, that's all I had. Mm-hmm. And so those 3 days of rehearsal, all I did was say, trust the music. I was like, what is it telling you to do? What is it telling you to do? What is it truly saying to do? And I just stuck to that. I said, go with the flow, go with the music. Yeah. What's interesting is that, you know, once we started shooting, I mean, I still was just trying to just make sure we got through the video shoot. It was a 2-day shoot. We were in Hollywood. I was just trying to get through the video shoot, make sure she knew her choreography, going over with her and the dancers, because Francis Lawrence was like, first of all, he's super fantastic, the director. And he just captured it so amazing. So in that moment, I was like, okay, we're doing this video. We had just finished doing Paparazzi VMAs, you know, a couple of weeks back. So I was just like, because again, like I said, things were just going. And it started to feel like kind of like on to the next, because we're just on to the next. Mm-hmm. And so in that moment, you know, I was just choreographing what I felt. It's only when the video actually came out, because I didn't see the final edit. So I didn't know what was about to happen. I didn't even know it was out. Mm-hmm. And the phone call started coming in saying, it's amazing. It's amazing. And I was like, what's amazing? Like the video, Bad Romance. I'm like, it's out. And it wasn't until I got home and like saw the edit that I was like, wow. Like, because the last I saw, we were just at the early stages of the edit. But all that to say is that it just was about what was honest. What did it feel like? The snap was all like, all for the gay kids. It was all for the community. Come on.
Pat, live. Oh my gosh. We had a Halloween party the other week for Halloween. And one of my dressers from the show, Beto, dressed in the Bad Romance red and was doing the Corrie down to a T. And we were all just screaming. And I was like, look, it just lives on forever. We know that, Corrie. We know it.
I mean, you know, even the moment at the bridge when she's just laying there saying, I want your love. And I was like, just lay there and like let the camera feel her and absorb her. And then we go with the kick and we started going for it. I mean, it just was about, all I said was, what is this song telling me? So, I listen to the songs, Adam, like a million times when I get these records, just so I can just like really be into it, so that by the time I get to the studio, I can just fly. So that's one of my faves.
Do you have like the steps already choreographed before, or sometimes you leave it and you just go in and just see where it goes?
It's a little bit of everything. Sometimes it's choreographed before, sometimes it's, you know, and the dancers know, I'll go in there and fill it out. And we'll try everything, you know, and then sometimes things happen on the spot. A lot of, let's just say, telephone, most of those scenes outside of Gaga and Beyonce's, you know, dancing together, a lot of that happened on the spot, on the set.
Oh, wow.
So when you go back and if you watch it again, just a lot of that happened in the moment on the set. Yeah. You know, Jonas Åkerlund was like, you know, I need, you know, this is the vision. Like, what can we make happen in like 10, 15 minutes? Like, we can make anything happen.
Oh, yeah. Richie Jackson can do anything, literally anything.
So, yeah. But every video is different. Every vibe is different. It just depends on the song. It depends on the album we're on. And I also think about, like, you know, where we come from and where we need to go now. So that's sort of the process. Yeah.
Yeah. So, you know, I was getting ready for the show the other day, and me and the boys in the dressing room, we were playing a little game, and we were picking our favourite song off of each Gaga album, and it was so hard to narrow it down to one song. You might find this a challenge as well, but let's do something similar with you. It can be your favourite song or music video or performance, or tell us why it is so special to you, you know, from each album or each era.
Okay.
So, number one, The Fame. Go.
My favorite song from The Fame.
Yes.
Oh my gosh. Okay.
It's impossible. I was like just basically saying every song, but then when I had to, and I was like, okay, one, I was like, oh god, I don't know, but
okay. Poker Face.
Oh.
Poker Face.
Poker Face. At,
because of, first of all, it's an amazing song. It's everything.
Everything.
I love her play on words, and I just love the choreography. I love the face move. There's just something about that song and the choreography that just feels powerful and strong,
mm-hmm.
and just, I don't know. Like every time I hear that song, I'm like, it's Poker Face. Poker Face is just, it just is the one. It's the one.
Yes, 100%. Do you know what? I actually chose Summer Boy. Like all of them. And I mean, like, and everyone was gagged in the room like, well, Summer Boy, because obviously you'd think I'd say Just Dance or Poker Face. But yes. Summer Boy, for me, it was like my first boyfriend driving in the car in the summer. And for some reason, yes. that feeling has okay. stuck with me. So whenever I hear okay. the song, it takes me way back. And I'm like, oh, just coming to terms with who I am and living my life.
Okay,
so Summer Boy,
okay.
surprisingly, from The Fame. I mean, every song is amazing.
And Poker Face just makes me think of when we first did American Idol. When we first did American right. Idol with Poker Face, for me on that side, I was like, something's happening.
Yes.
Like now we're like doing American Idol and like stuff is happening now. Like,
oh, yeah.
But just that one moment of even doing American Idol for Poker Face was like, okay. We're moving up some sort of ladder because people are starting to catch on to what's happening. So, yes, yeah. Poker Face, definitely for the fame.
Amazing. Okay, so the Fame Monster.
Oh, gosh.
Have you ever been asked this before, by the way? Because I feel like this is so hard.
Well, what I've been asked is, which music video is your favorite? And I'm like,
yeah. And I'm just giving you like
babies.
Yeah.
Okay. Outside of Bad Romance, because it's just a given. Like, it's just, it just yeah. wraps up that album. But
yeah.
Fame Monster, I'm still a classic Telephone.
Oh, yes.
It's just something about that collaboration between those two at that mm-hmm. time, that yeah. music video,
yeah.
where we were at in pop culture. It just was so amazing. It was so dope. I loved
yeah.
it.
Yeah, I just have the urge sometimes to get the video on. I'm like, I just need Telephone. And I just put it on. I'm like, yes.
It just, the steps, the video, you know, Gaga and Beyonce, it was an amazing moment. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
100%. Okay, Born This Way. Is your favorite tour?
My baby of all, Shizer.
Agreed. That's what I said, of course.
Hands down.
I don't speak German, but I can if you like. Like,
Hands down. The fact that she even says that to open up the song, the dark, the dark beat of the vibe. Mm-hmm. Like, it just, the way it sounds, it feels, it just sounds so like, Shiza
yeah.
is the one for me.
I'll never forget that from the tour as well, the choreography. Just
oh
insane.
My, I literally was, that's the one song I was like, Richard, what are you going to do? This song right here is it. You cannot play. And it just, yeah. it came. And that's one of my favorite like choreographies as well. Like I love that yeah. song. Yeah. Oh. Yes.
Amazing. Okay. Art Pop.
Art Pop. You know, okay. My favorite secretly is Art Pop the song.
Yes.
It just wraps up the album. It just says everything in that one record. It says it all. And I like how yeah. it feels. I like how it bounces. And it yeah. just says, I'm about to take you all on a crazy ride for this yeah. album. So when I hear Art Pop the song, I'm like, that's it for me.
Amazing.
100%. Yes.
Yeah, it's so hard to pick, but I had to say Applause because of the VMA performance. I can't. The VMA performance of Applause has just stayed with me forever. I call
that the Super Bowl of performances.
Oh my gosh. Well, it felt
I've
like that on an award
that.
Show.
Yes, 100%. only because of all the outfit changes. Yeah. It's like if one thing would have went wrong, it just would have been down in flames. You know what I mean? It would have snowballed. Yeah. And so I felt like what we accomplished in that, what, 3 minutes and maybe 50 seconds, I'm guessing right now, because that's what it felt like. I said to myself, no one's doing this. Mm-hmm. No one's doing this. Yeah. Okay. Like we get performances, we get maybe one change, maybe. And I'm thinking like 2013, but you didn't do this. And
no.
I thought that that performance was like, yes. Like we came to play.
How many costume changes was it? Can you remember how many times she changed?
There was the white, there was the white sort of like lean, nod to Born This Way at the beginning. So that's one. Then from there, she went into, we took her out. So we took her out of that. And she was just in the black ball cap, all black. That's two. Then we put on the blue jacket and blue skirt with the, what was that? What was that hair? Was the poker face hair? Three.
Yeah.
Then we got her out of that. We put makeup on her. That was another out. So I'm going to just consider that four. Then she runs upstage and changes into the Venus look.
Oh.
And five. I'm going to say five. That I'm going to bank on five. But that right there was like, I mean, when I remember standing backstage watching the monitor, like I could not breathe because I was like, if one thing goes, it's over. And when we were done, when she said ARTPOP, I remember just jumping up like, we did it.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
What a moment.
One of my favorite performances.
Yeah, I remember being in LA with my friend Jake, and we were trying to recreate it in the garage, and we were using props. We were using sheets, wigs, boots. We had the glitter. Two gay boys living their best lives, but deeply inspired by what we had actually just witnessed on MTV.
Yeah.
Like, it was just like glory days of the VMAs and that game-changing art thrown in my face, and I was like, wow, trying to do costume changes.
And what no one realizes that at the same time when we were rehearsing for the VMAs, we were also rehearsing for, what was her show she did in London?
Was it at the Roundhouse?
It was iTunes, yes.
Yeah.
So we were also rehearsing for that as well.
Right.
So we were having these sort of two-a-days, like half the day, you know, VMAs, half the other day, iTunes. Yeah. And it just, that was a crazy time, but a fun time. Very exciting.
Oh my gosh. You know what? I always remember I lived in Camden at the time, and I was around the corner when it was happening, and I never had tickets. I weren't there, and I was devastated. And I was just like, okay, she's giving us aura right now.
Yes.
Like, watched it on my laptop, like, she's around the corner. I'm not there, but I'm living, like, aura. All of the stuff. I just can't. It was incredible. Oh.
Yes. That was we were doing it all. All.
Yeah.
If we had it to do it, we did it.
Yeah. So then we have Cheek to Cheek. We're switching it up. We're going a bit of jazz. What was your favorite song on that album? Like,
her and Tony. Such a fantastic. They picked the right songs. Like, those are the moments to sing.
Yeah.
But Cheek to Cheek, the song is just, it just sums up the vibe, but just sums up their relationship, friendship, their artistry together and separate.
Yeah.
It's Cheek to Cheek. Like, it just, that's the song for me.
100%. And I've seen that at the Royal Albert Hall as well when she was in London.
Yes.
And it was beautiful and so intimate. Yes. I was really close. I was like, this is so, it seemed so different at the time. It was just all of a sudden, you know, from art pop to cheek. I was like, wow.
Yes.
Wow.
Yeah,
just
yeah,
shows
yeah.
The versatility and the artistry.
100%.
Which has no limit.
At all.
And then we go to Joanne.
Joanne, favorite song.
Yes.
Diamond Heart.
Oh,
Diamond Heart. Just that's the one. I just when I first heard Diamond Heart, I was like, "This right here is yes,
yeah."
It's the same thing. I think that it summed up the album. I just love that record. I think that record is it for me on Joanne. 100%. Yes.
I did love A Million Reasons as well. Obviously, I love every song, but A Million Reasons just
takes it.
So then A Star Is Born soundtrack. We're nearly there. A Star Is Born.
A Star Is Born. Shallow is a yes. Yes. Fantastic moment in time. Shallow is a yes. Shallow is a yes. But what's my other song that I love? Always Remember Us This Way.
Yeah. It's just stunning. Stunning.
Yeah. But Shallow was just everything. The Oscars performance, everything. Everything walking.
Oh my God. That was so beautiful.
Yes, it was. So beautiful.
Oh my gosh. And I'll Never Love Again was one of my favorites. I've cried my eyes out many times, so I'll Never Love Again. When I first heard that and saw the film, I just couldn't breathe.
Yeah, hands down too. That's something like, there's so many, especially on that one in particular, there's so many like heart-touching songs on that album. Like, yeah. It could be any one of them.
I know, right? That's why it's so hard. But then we come to the iconic Chromatica. What are you picking from your baby Chromatica?
Okay. Oh, Babylon. I'm going to pick Babylon.
Yeah.
Just because. I mean, and maybe even more so because of the choreography, but just.
Oh my gosh.
Because.
Yeah. The Chromatica ball. Oh my gosh.
Did you see it? Where were you sitting?
I was there.
How close were you?
I was on like the lower tier, but when she came to the middle to sing on the piano, I was like pretty much there at the front of that. And it was just sensational. But yeah, Babylon and Replay. You're going to pick Replay now, aren't you?
Can I change my answer?
You can change your answer.
Replay. Yeah, tell me your thoughts.
So when we go into the show and we're like, let's psych ourselves up, we're feeling a little bit tight, come on, let's get ourselves going. We watch Replay live in London at the Chromatica Ball and we just gag over the Corrie. And it's just like, she just doesn't stop. She doesn't miss a beat and she's just going, like, obviously, she's Lady Gaga. But in Replay and Babylon, all the Corrie, she's just there going, and it's sensational.
Thank you.
Just wow.
Thank you. So, Replay, and just so everyone understands, nothing is just done on purpose. Replay was like my bad child. Like, Replay was probably changed 7 times.
Wow.
Just so that you could get the most effect out of it. It's because Replay feels like now, but pop, but 70s, but EDM. It has like a little bit of it's the gumbo. It has everything in there.
Yes.
It's such a mix of so many different types of vibes.
Yeah.
That I was like, I literally was like, we don't have it yet. We haven't found her yet. Like that one changed 7 times. And by the time I found her, found her.
Yes.
Like, I jumped up in the room and I said, we found her. Like, this is it. So just so that everyone knows, Replay was not overnight. Replay took a minute to find the right sauce.
Yeah.
Babylon, I was like, let's go. Let's float. Let's give the hand work. Let's give monster pause.
Yes. It's everything. It's so inspiring. Byron, it's iconic.
Thank you.
The best choreography I've ever seen and witnessed on this planet.
Thank you. Oh my God. Thank you so much.
Right. 2020, though, you came to save the world. That was much needed with a Chromatica medley on the VMAs featuring Ariana Grande, Rain on Me.
Yes.
Like, come on. You know, you actually made me embrace the rain with that choreography. Because in London, it always rains. So now when it starts to rain, I'm literally just jumping. I'm just like, rain.
Just jumping up and down.
I'm just jumping like, well, what can I do? It's raining. So I'm just going to live my best life. But it's just so iconic.
Thank you. I mean, I loved choreographing that video. I loved working with Gaga and Ari. And even in the back of my mind, I was like, you know, the last collaboration we had done was with Beyonce. Mm-hmm. So I just, in my mind, I was like, how do we make this collaboration feel different?
Yeah.
From the last time she collaborated with someone as big as Beyonce. Now she's some with, you know, with Ari. And I was like, how do we do this? How do we make, you know, Gaga's pop style with, you know, Ariana's sort of R&B style? And how do we like infuse them together and still make something that's cohesive for both of them to still work? And yeah, that choreography, it's also one of my favorites just because the way it feels. And I love that Gaga's part looks, you know, looks different from Ari's part. But when they jump, it's this, you already know it. Someone said, why the jump? I said, because you know what else are you going to do when it's raining?
Exactly.
Like you have to embrace it. You know what I mean? Yes. It was about embracing the rain, the pain, and whatever you're going through and just jump through it. So just when that video came out and to see the reactions and to see, you know, people redoing it, seeing people in the rain, seeing people use like water hoses over their friends to get water over them so they could just jump in the rain. Seeing it, you know, I remember some clubs were kind of opening up during that time, but to see footage of like different clubs and them playing that song and everyone's just in the room, just jumping, like that's what it's all about, honestly.
100%. And Chromatica, it was all of that time, that era, it was so needed and it got me through the lockdowns. And I remember being on Zoom, having listening parties with my friends, doing the choreography on TikTok and just living my best life in my house. It really was an integral key part in sustaining my joy throughout that difficult time. So just thank you for creating that and giving us light through a painful, dark time.
Yes, it was. Yes, it was.
But then we jumped and we danced in the friggin' rain.
Rain.
Oh. Yes! Now, Richie, when you work with other artists, right, does it feel like you have somewhat cheated on our girl Gaga? Because, like, how does it work? Because you have created so much for your whole career. Do you still enjoy working with other artists? I know you do so much with JoJo Siwa and Katy Perry, Rita Ora. Like, give us the tea. So how is it working with other artists then?
So I don't feel like I'm cheating on her. I think that what we do in the world of Gaga just sort of sits in it on its own planet. But I also feel like I work with artists who sort of have their own planets too. JoJo Siwa has her, I think she has her own planet, her own world, her own kind of fan base. You know, at the time, you know, I've been knowing JoJo since she was 9. Mm-hmm. And so in working with her, I just understood what her brand was and how to choreograph in her world, you know, for a younger audience who's more about the hair bow and about, you know, sparkly dresses and, you know, just really having like fun, kid fun. You know what I mean? Yeah. So, you know, there's working with JoJo and when I worked with Rita, that was just she's in her own world, in my opinion. And that song in particular, so hilarious. Like, I had such a great time. We rehearsed one day for that video.
Oh, wow, for Praise You.
For Praise You, we rehearsed one day. Yeah. I had gotten the treatment 2 days before and was like, okay, how do we do this? But see, I like challenges. And so I love to sort of create for each artist, for them and their brand and their music. So for me, I try to, though I know it's me, obviously, working with different artists, but how do I stay within, you know, the world of Gaga, the world of JoJo, the world of, you know, Rita, the world of even Katy at the time. I mean, doing California Girls was like that.
Again, iconic. Everything you do is iconic.
Thank you. California Girls was a different vibe in a different world. You know, we were in Candyland. And it just, you know, it was just trying to like create, you know, Katy's vibe and, you know, keep her look and the vibe and the way we moved into her world. So, you know, I never feel like I'm cheating. I just feel like I'm, you know, getting to play in other worlds. But, you know, we always come back to our Gaga world, which I love.
Yes, I know. And it's interesting because I used to dance for Rita Ora years ago, back in my commercial days before I went into my musicals. And I remember watching the video because I always keep up to date with like what she's doing. And I just remember thinking, hang on a minute, this video's got that Richie flair. So I looked it up straight away, and of course it was your work, and I was gagged, and I was like, yes! And like I said, your choreography is just, it's a universal language, and we just love it, and we're here for it. And I was like, yes, Richie, giving Rita choreography!
Yeah, I was like, Rita, we have to do more! Because it literally, and it was the funniest part of that video, and I loved making it with Rita, was also trying to get dancers. You know, because the videos kind of like they're like not that great, but then by the end they're like way better. And to try to get dancers to not dance at their best,
Yeah.
Is a thing within itself.
Yes. Oh my gosh. Yes. We always play games. I try and dance out of time and I find it really difficult.
Yes. Yes. 100%. Those then I was like, listen, it's okay to mess up. It's okay to look off. This is the vibe at first. So yeah, that was probably the most funniest part was like, you don't have to be amazing. You have to just be like, not like just okay.
Yeah. I absolutely love that. Now, Richie, we've got to talk about it. 2017, the Super Bowl. I can't even believe I'm about to ask you these questions and talk about this. The biggest stage you could ever be on in the world, the biggest show, a moment in history. Mm-hmm. Wow. I'm literally bowing down. Tell us about the road, the journey building up to that performance. What is it like to create the Super Bowl?
So the first thing, let me say this. When you get the call and you know that you're going to be a part of the Super Bowl, your mind just goes, oh, crap. Okay. But what are we going to do? Because now literally everybody's watching, not just her fan base, but like the world is watching. Like this is the Super Bowl halftime show. And so, you know, we were just trying to figure out how we can do the opposite as much as possible, but still be infectious. So, you know, the Super Bowl gives you, you know, money to have a lot of technology. I'm sure you've seen, and that, which is amazing. Mm-hmm. But we were really trying to do a show that was about art, music, dance, fashion, and let it more so be about our gift in this moment. And like, you know, humanity, humans, mm-hmm. you know, creating something. And so, you know, the first thing that I did, at least for my world, was like, as far as casting the dancers, I literally said, you know, it would be so amazing. Because most times on these sorts of big, you know, performances, there's auditions for dancers. And I said, you know what would be really special is like, what if I brought back everyone who's had a chance to be on stage with her at some point in her career?
Yes.
Whether they were here now or whether they were let go or whether they just moved on, mm-hmm. whatever, like how do we bring all of these people back who have had a moment with her along this path to this moment? Yeah. So I was able to cast 40 dancers. And so
wow.
I got back as many as possible who had been there at some point in her career, which was amazing. And then what was also cool was like seeing people who we had seen in a long time, but also a room full of people who understood her vibe and her journey. Mm-hmm. So it wasn't about, you know, trying to get a room full of people who had never worked with her. It mm-hmm. was almost like a big reunion for her and for all of us. So once I did that, then it was just about really trying to figure out how to create the steps, you know, how are we going to do this performance where we can touch the audience with her and make it about, you know, the fashion and the dancing and the music. And so creating that, we had 30 days of rehearsal, you know, days off, but we had an amount of 30 total to play with. Yeah. And just, you know, we were there, you know, our 8-hour days going for it, making sure that we could deliver the best show and you know, the set list, the outfits, the hair, the makeup, and just making it feel seamless, but also, you know, obviously an homage to what we've done and where we've come from. And now we were here. So that I never, ever imagined I would ever do the Super Bowl and never ever imagined I would be anywhere near it. And so to just have had that happen, I was in shock. I think I didn't even enjoy the performance. I had to go back and watch it about a week later.
That's what I wanted to say. Like, can you remember how you felt that day when the performance started?
So what happens is, and I'm not sure if you know this, but what happens is that, let's just say if the Super Bowl is on that Sunday, mm-hmm. you're out there, you get out there that Monday, Tuesday, you're starting to rehearse and go inside the stadium sort of like Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, because not only do we have to rehearse, they have to also rehearse the setting up of the stage.
Mm-hmm. Of course.
So they get 7 minutes to set up the stage, we perform, and then they get 7 minutes to break down the stage. So all I'm going to say is that in that time, we are also running it. Mm-hmm. So what you feel in the Super Bowl is this. You've rehearsed it so much that now you're just saying no one is going to mess up. Nothing's going to be forgotten because like you've rehearsed it so much. And when you arrive that morning basically at 9 a.m. and you don't go on to about, you know, we're trying to remember 6 or 7 at night. Mm-hmm. It's the anticipation that kills you that day. You're waiting for hours. You're yes. just like, okay.
Let's just go.
So, yeah. I mean, you know, for all of us performers out there, we all understand what it's like to be there early in the morning, mm-hmm. but you're not performing till later in the day. And so that anticipation will wear and tear you just for the day, just waiting around. So then people are rehearsing and going over steps and trying to figure out how much they should eat and not eat and should they work out or not. Like, it's a real mental, physical battle while you're waiting. But once we had done it, because I was still underneath the stage. Mm-hmm. And I heard the crowd scream because I know she said Super Bowl 51 and she caught the football and like jumped in.
Yes.
Or out of the frame. I just remember just saying, we did it. This sort of like, we did it. An exhausted release of we did it. You know what I mean? And I was so happy, but so tired. Yeah. Like so excited, but so tired that literally, like I said, a week later, once she recovered, because we had been going for about a month.
Yeah.
I got to really like sit back, watch it and enjoy it.
Oh, my gosh. Would you say it was a highlight of your career and of your life to do the Super Bowl?
Yes and no. Mm-hmm. Yes, because it was another milestone that I never ever imagined I would cross. I mean, you have to understand, when I came to LA, I thought if I can get on one music video, I've done it.
Yeah. Yeah.
So that was never even in nowhere near my thoughts as of sort of like being accomplished. Yeah. So I say yes for that reason. That was something I never thought I would do, but I did. But I say no because I just have so much more to offer. There's so much more to do. There's so much more to give. Long as there are artists and there are music that's being created, and if those people will allow me to be in their room to work with them and to create with them, then I have more to do.
Oh, that is so inspiring to hear that.
We all do. Dancers, any creators, content creators, you know, hair, makeup, wardrobe, choreographers, dancers, if anyone that will allow you that time to be in their creative space, like, you have more to do.
Yeah. Oh, I love that, Richie. Thank you.
Yes.
And you know what? Whenever I need a dose of joy, though, I do watch that Super Bowl performance back over and over again. It truly was amazing. Work. So congratulations. Just congratulations to you for it all. And how many people can say they choreographed and created the Super Bowl?
I never thought I'd say it. I never thought I would create one step.
Oh,
not for the Super Bowl. Yeah.
But can you imagine little Richie, if he could have seen what was ahead, that he was going to be creating the biggest show on the planet with one of the biggest stars in the generation? And, you know, I believe everything aligns and happens for a reason. Yes. Every decision, every rise, every fall, every knockback. Yeah. The positive is, no matter what has happened to you in your journey, I think it always leads you to where you are supposed to be. And everything you choose to do with your life leads you to these glorious moments.
100%.
Do you believe in manifestation and the law of attraction side of life?
What I believe in is this. Mm-hmm. How can I say this to you? I believe that everyone has a path. Mm-hmm. I believe that if you believe in yourself, those things that you think of, manifest, whichever, however you look at it, they can come true. But they may not come true in the way you thought it was going to be. So you have to be open to how it's going to roll out. Meaning, yes, did I one day want to be a Tina Landon who had a Janet Jackson? 100%. Did I ever think it would happen like this? No. So I had to just roll with it. And trust in myself and trust in the moments and, you know, trust those things that said, yes, push forward also, but trust things that are red flags. If it's a red flag, it's a red flag. And it's okay to not go down that road. And I'm going to say that because I remember when I was just dancing, my agent called and said, they want you to go on the Backstreet Boys tour.
Right.
Now, at that point in time, rent was $750 a month for me. I didn't really have a lot of money, and I was still breaking into the dance world as a dancer. But I always knew I wanted to choreograph, and I always knew I wanted to assist. And so at that point, my agent said, they'll pay you $2,500 a week You'll be gone for a year and a half. Mm-hmm. Rehearsals start in 2 days. What do you say? Mm-hmm. And I remember saying, I know I'm going to sound so crazy right now, but if I leave here for a year and a half, mm-hmm. I will come back with a lot of money, but I will have to start all over. And I said, I really want to stay, and I really want to find someone to assist because I want to choreograph one day. I turned that job down. He cursed me out because he could not believe that I would turn down a job such as this, giving me so much money. Mm-hmm. And that next week, I was at an audition for Usher. And I get a call from my agent when it's done. He says, you know, were you at the Usher audition? And I was like, yeah. He says, well, you got that job. So I was like, mm-hmm. oh my God, thank you. I'm so happy. Like, I know I danced so hard that day. I'm so happy I got this job. He said, but yeah, but I'm also letting you know that Michael Rooney happened to walk in and see you audition. Mm-hmm. And now he wants you to assist him as a choreographer.
Yeah.
So my point to that is because that in that moment changed my life. And assisting mm-hmm. Michael Rooney changed my life. But my point is that I stuck with something because my gut said, stay here, don't go. And even when that money was in my face, all mm-hmm. of this money you're going to make for a year and a half. Yeah. You don't really have that much money in your account right now, but you're going to make so much money if you just say yes.
Yes.
And I said no, and I stayed, and I trusted my gut. And I believe that had I gone on that tour, you and I may not even be sitting here right now having mm-hmm. this conversation. So just trust your guts and stick to the plan. And I believe that everyone has a path, and also find something that you love to do. Whether it pays you a lot of money or not, just find something that you love. If that one thing makes you smile, and maybe everyone may not even understand what that is, but mm-hmm. that's what brings you joy, you should do that too.
100%.
Yes.
Honestly, I've spoke about a lot about saying no. Like, I believe that the power of joy is having the ability to say no when your gut is telling you to do so. And it will, if you trust it, like you said, it will lead you to that place.
100%. Yes, it will.
I love it. I absolutely love it. Now, Richie, if you could go back to your childhood bedroom and sit down next to the little you as the present you, what would you say to him?
I would say you're going to lose the most important people in your life, which is my mom. I lost my mom when I was 21.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
I lost my grandmother the night before Super Bowl. You're going to lose the most important people in your life. Oh. But you're going to be okay. Mm-hmm. And you're going to have to get through it by putting those feelings and those emotions that could get someone depressed mm-hmm. into your work and through other people. Meaning, I remember having this conversation with Gaga, and I was like, the women in my life, I have a lot of female artists, mm-hmm. but they bring me so much joy that the conversation was sort of like, the love of your mom and your grandmother through you gets pushed out of you and into the things you love and the people that you love and the people that you care about. I help so many people. I look out for so many people.
Yes.
And so I would just tell my younger self, like, get ready. Like, you're not going to even believe the good or the bad that would have happened in your life. Because mm-hmm. at a young age, all I wanted to do was just dance and just play the drums and hang out with my mom and hang out with my family. All my family lived in one town. And that just was what life was. I had no idea that it would ever get like this. But it's a roller coaster of joy and pain at the same time. I mean, again, losing my grandmother the night before Super Bowl, like, no one knows that.
Yeah, I'm so sorry.
So it just, I don't know who you love in your life like that, but imagine mm-hmm. that person leaving mm-hmm. this earth the night before your opening or your first recital or your first big music video, your first tour, like mm-hmm. how do you even feel?
Yeah.
So I would just tell my younger self, get ready. It's going to be a roller coaster. And but you're going to be okay.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Oh, thank you. Thank you, Richie, for sharing that.
It's been a journey.
It has been a journey. And through pain, I do believe that you make the most amazing art.
Yes. Yes.
And that you have done in every possible way. So finally, Richie, what do you want to be most remembered for on this planet?
What's interesting is this. Yes, for my work and my collaborations and things that I've done 100%. And I think that they will live on whether I would want that or not, in my opinion. I think that people will, you know, I think for me, one of my accomplishments has been made is like, I feel like you'll watch the choreography of a Gaga and what we've done in what, 15 years now. I think that's going to live no matter what. I think that it just will. It's inevitable.
Yes. Yeah.
But just to be remembered as someone who looked out for people, who was a good person, you know, who helped so many people.
Yeah.
You know, and when things were going wrong, I was, you know, I feel like I'm a solutionist. I'm a problem solver. I'm like, okay, let's figure out, you know, how we can get past this. What's the solution? Because at the end of the day, that's what people remember most. I feel like, you know, especially if they know you, they remember those moments with you, the times with you, and things that we went through. And so for me, it's just, you know, I want everyone to win. I want people to live out their dreams. I'm living out mine. I don't ever feel like I'm truly at work. I feel like I'm having another experience. But I want people to, you know, remember me as someone who just went for it and who smiled and who tried to make the room feel good you know, let us laugh through, you know, through our creations and but someone who was a hard worker and just put it on the line for everyone else's enjoyment. I'm very selfless in that regard. Like it's all for you all. The choreography is not for me. It's literally for you all. If y'all don't have a reaction, that's all it's about. It's always been from a selfless position. It's always been about that. Yeah.
And I totally relate to that because people ask me, why are you doing this podcast? Why are you deciding to do the Power of Joy and share this with people? And I'm like, because I want to help. I want people to put their headphones in and have a lovely escape on their commute or whether they're at home going for whatever people are doing. This is to make people feel good and to make them think and to be inspired and just hopefully motivate them to just go for their dreams and just go for it, like you said. Just go. And it's from a selfless place. So thank you for sharing that.
And to let people know that they're not alone. Yes. Sometimes you may not have people around that may think like you, or maybe they think that what you're doing is crazy. But what you're saying is nuts. But just know that you're not alone, and maybe that'll help, you know, break the wall if there's a wall in front of you, and or just make you feel joy or happiness when you do hear us speak and hear you do your podcast. So, I feel that.
Yeah. Now, can you just give us a little dose of inspiration and give any aspiring dancers, creatives, artists, any words of wisdom of what it takes to succeed in this industry? Give them a bit of joy.
All right, team, if you're out there listening and you believe in something that you believe in, I will say first, continue to believe in what you believe in. And everyone will not get it at first. They may not understand it first. But if your spirit, your body, your soul, your mind, your heart is saying it should be this, then maybe it should just be that. And sometimes it's going to require you to walk away from things that sound crazy that you're even making that choice. But we also get one life. So you have to understand the goal, at least for me, is I feel like everyone is here for a reason. And you have to figure out what your purpose is. You got to find your purpose. Your purpose may be in the arts. But it may not be, and that's okay too. The reality is that if you want to be successful at anything, you have to trust yourself. You have to trust your gut. You have to also be, what's the word? I recommend being selfless. Be selfless to the room. Be selfless to the experience. Whenever you're in anyone's room, whether on a big level or on a small level, whether an amazing artist or an okay artist, you give it your best. Whether you do it for $2 million or you do it for $0, you are at your best because everything counts. Yes. Everyone counts, and you have to count too, and you have to matter. And what you don't realize is that sometimes even doing something for not a lot of money will can bring you much later. And if not in monetary value, in relationship value. So yes. I just say, whatever you say yes to, say yes 150%. But it's also okay to say no.
Oh, Richie, thank you so, so much. That was just 100%. Honestly everything and more. But I like to finish my podcast with a little dose of joy. So you're up for a quick round of questions, just a fire
yes.
round. Yeah.
Yes.
You know, I'll add some music to this. When I do the edit, I'll be like, woo.
Work.
Okay, here we go. When you think of the word joy, what is the first thing that comes to mind?
Joy. Snapple iced tea.
Yes.
Peach Snapple iced tea brings me joy.
What is your coffee order if you drink coffee?
Ooh, a grande iced caramel macchiato from Starbucks. Extra caramel sauce, please.
Yes, shake that ice.
Yes.
Favorite animal?
A rabbit.
Ooh. Favorite dance style?
Oh, God. Okay.
Oh, no. Why am I asking you the most difficult questions? I'm so
favorite
sorry, Richie.
Favorite dance style? Okay.
How can I even ask Richie Jackson that? But I've just asked him it.
Okay. I'm going to try to answer this clean. Favorite dance style? But it's not really hip-hop, but it's not really just...
You don't have to. You can just say dance.
Favorite dance style is just dance.
Just dance. What superpower would you like to have?
If I could have one superpower, it would be to teleport.
Oh, yeah.
Just so I can just kill these plane rides, y'all. I cannot take a... I would be in London easily if I could just snap my fingers and appear. Amazing.
Oh,
I would love that.
I'm with you. Okay, your favorite takeaway and what's your order?
Ooh, my favorite takeaway order from anywhere?
From anywhere. Like, I just have fish and chips before, because that's a very British thing. I ordered
okay.
fish and chips.
All right, if y'all ever come out to LA, you need to go to Roscoe's Chicken and Waffles, a Ooh. Number 23 with a breast, takeaway all day.
Okay, I will hold you to that. I'm going to do that. Favorite home-cooked meal? Home cooking.
Gumbo. Gumbo, gumbo, gumbo.
Ooh. Favorite song of all time?
Oh my gosh.
I'm going there.
Of all time?
The Power
time?
Of Joy. Of all time.
Okay.
I do not play around on this podcast with these questions.
I mean, I can never get rid of Brandy and Monica's The Boy Is Mine.
Oh, iconic. Your favorite film?
Favorite film? Oh, okay. Favorite film is this. It's called The Others with Ooh. Nicole Kidman.
Okay, I'll watch it. I'm gonna look it up. Your favorite season?
Spring. No, hold on. Fall. Because it gets a little cold. Yeah, it's not too cold. It's not too hot. Fall is my favorite season.
Yeah, I do love a pumpkin spice latte. Best holiday you've ever been on?
You know what? I actually haven't had a vacation.
Hang on, you've never had a vacation?
Nope.
Oh my God, well, I guess it's because your life and career has been one big vacation. You've been on tour, you've toured the world. So
I've toured the world, so every tour I've ever done.
Yes, I love that. That's iconic. Okay, your favorite place to be on air?
I like the beaches of Miami. I have to go back to really... The last one was there, I was like, this is heaven. But I have yeah. to go back one more time to make sure. But the beaches of Miami on the East Coast.
Okay, who is your biggest inspiration?
My mom. My mom. I think all those 21 years of love and happiness brought it home for me. Yeah.
Oh, gosh. She'd be so proud. So, so proud. Most important thing in your life?
I know we're talking about joy, but the most important thing in my life was my mom. And after that was my grandmother. So after her, it's my auntie, my Aunt Beverly. Oh. Most important. In my life. Yes.
Richie, thank you so, so much. You are such a joy. And the joy you have spread in this world is astronomical. And a star was definitely born when you arrived on this planet.
Work.
Oh my gosh. I cannot wait to see what you create next, and I will be supporting you all the way from London. So thank you so, so much. You are just
Thank you
amazing.
So much for having me. This was a joy. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Richie. Honestly, the 15-year-old Adam dancing in his room to Just Dance and Poker Face wouldn't have believed that he would get the chance to sit down and have a chat with Richie and talk about his world and the House of Gaga. Oh, it was just such a joy, and thank you for joining us. I really hope you enjoyed this episode and feel inspired. I am literally buzzing. I am so grateful to Richie and to all of you for listening, and I hope that this has a positive impact on your day. Now just remember, put everything on the line for your dreams. The journey makes you vulnerable, but the victory leaves you a champion. If you would be so kind to leave a rating and review on your podcast platform, and give this episode a share if you enjoyed it, I would really appreciate it. You can follow Richie at Richie Squirrel, and you can follow myself at It's Adam Lyons. So from the House of Gaga to the House of Joy, sending you so much love and light, and I will see you next time on The Power of Joy.